The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Great to be together and a lot to cover today. We've got two great guests coming on today. We're our old friends, John Schlafly and Todd Bensman, in just a few moments. Bensman has an update from the border, very important for us to hear about. And John Schlafly's column is controversial. He's taking on the transgender issue and he's got a lot to say. So that'll be great. But first, Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. What you need to know, what's today's wink? What's today's wink is give peace a chance, Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri is the scene now of the developing effort by the media and by pathetic loser leaders to exploit every hot button issue under the sun, or maybe the hottest of hot button issues, which is race, and try to drive the city into turmoil. Now, let me tell you, let me give you some perspective, and it's important. I was there when Ferguson happened in Missouri. I happened to be chairman of the Republican Party of Missouri at the time, and when Michael Brown died after attacking the police officer, he died after attacking the police officer, having robbed a local store. The tragedy was a young man died, and the tragedy was the young man had been failed by the systems, the education system, the family structure, whatever. It was a tragedy. The death of a young man is never a good thing, but it wasn't murder by a cop. It was not something that was wrong done by the cop. It was a tragedy. In fact, it was a tragedy on all kinds of levels. But then the national entities, the national players, in a preview of what happened in 2020, they came to town and they burned Ferguson. And CNN covered it breathlessly. Don Lemon was in town and Anderson Cooper came and all the coverage was breathless. Oh, my gosh, look at this. It's racial rioting. It was, you know, I this is not fair because I wasn't around at the time. But I'll just go ahead and venture a guess. It feels to me like the rioting in the 1960s at least was related to a sense that African Americans were stuck in systems that weren't, that were exploiting them. The Democrat Party was racist. The systems, there was still segregation. But in the year 2010 to 2000, what was Ferguson, 2013 and 2020, and today in Kansas City, it's not about, this is not about real righteous anger and real principled reform. And the idea that in Kansas City, you're watching the usual suspects, the terrible race baiting, pathetic people and the media, I repeat myself, leading an effort to get this, again, a tragedy. Whatever the reality of what the old man was thinking when he shot the young man who's coming through the front door, whatever the young man was thinking, I don't think he was a bad guy at all. Whatever the mistake was, it's a tragedy. But don't burn down Kansas City. Don't call it a racism thing. Don't make this into something it's not and pretend that you care about the people. If you want to address the problems in this country, especially if you think it's about race, go to the teachers' unions. Go to the teachers' unions and go to the cities that don't enforce the law and protect the people. Don't go to a neighborhood now in Kansas City and exploit the media's desire for clickbait and social media's desire to manipulate and these pathetic race-baiting lawyers and activists who will come and say just enough to allow rioting and to encourage the sending in of the Antifa types and others. Give peace a chance, Kansas City. Yeah, but there are some leaders in Kansas City, African-American and liberal Democrats that I know. I live there. I work there. There's some leaders of quality. Listen to them. Find ways for the constructive reform that stops people from making these mistakes. But don't burn and don't exploit and don't divide and don't hate. Peace and real and peace and change and mourning and tragedy. I'm not saying I'm happy about any of it. But I'm watching people, maybe not the exact same people, but some of them are exact same people, who exploited Ferguson, who and destroyed businesses and homes and millions of dollars. And people that exploited Washington, D.C. and other cities in 2020 for what? Political gain? And watch this fool in the White House if he does this wrong and just divides. Peace. Peace. That's what you need to know. We'll take a break. We'll take a break and be right back with John Schlafly. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. Time to touch base with John Schlafly. John Schlafly, of course, is one half of the dynamic duo that does this weekly Schlafly Report. It used to take only one Schlafly back in the day. That was the late Phyllis Schlafly. She did a weekly column for almost 50 years. Now it takes two of her sons to do that, but they still do a fine, fine job. You can go to townhall.com, where the column posts late on Tuesday, kind of breaking news on Tuesdays, and also it archived at phyllisschlafly.com with all of their columns. This week's column, End Promotion of Transgender Culture. So I have to say, this makes you, John, a bigot. It makes you, I don't know, a lot of things. I mean, you hate Budweiser beer. I guess you hate Belgians, or are they Brazilians? I don't even know anymore, but not American anymore. But here, John, before we get into your column more specifically, again, an observer or a participant for, I don't know, 50 of your years on this earth, you've been on earth for a few more than 50, but a lot of years you've been an up-close participant or observer. The speed with which the transgender sort of movement, if you can call it that, has been, you know, splashing across America. It's like happened in like a year or two, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, Ed. And it's a good question as to how that happened, how a dramatic cultural change can happen so rapidly, and who's really pushing it. You know, that's certainly people should look into that. You know, it's a few years ago, or really for 20 years, there was a debate over gay and lesbian issues, and we heard nothing about it for 20 years. As soon as the Supreme Court issued its ruling, that whole subject dropped into the memory hole, and we don't hear anything about gay and lesbian anymore. Instead, all we hear is GLBT or LGBT. I'm not sure which letter comes first, mm-hmm. and particularly the T. And the T is everywhere. But the reaction has been fierce, too. And we're now up to 21 states where the state legislature has passed a bill and either signed by the governor or overridden the governor to pass a bill in 21 states. Imagine that, in just the last year and a half, to protect girls' sports against being disrupted, destroyed, you might say, by male-bodied athletes. And today, there is a bill before the House, U.S. House of Representatives, to address the transgender issue nationwide, in reaction to, of course, Joe Biden has proposed a regulation, national regulation, which would essentially amend the Title IX rule, which has protected women's sports for 50 years. You talk about 50 years on this earth, Ed. You know, Title IX was enacted by Congress just about 50 years ago. And that has been a federal law which has protected the rights of women and girls in schools, in all schools. that benefit from federal financial assistance, and including sports, not just sports, but anything to do with schools. But the Joe Biden regulation, which is up for public comment right now, Ed, and all of your listeners have the right under the the federal law involving federal regulations to express their comments to the Department of Education in writing about whether or not women's sports should be opened up to male persons who say they have a female gender identity, regardless of whether they've had any type of medical intervention. So, you know, millions, tens of millions of people do care about that whole subject. And so that's why people we're talking about it today and this week.
We're talking with John Schlafly, his column
now,
again.
Ed, you know, your teenage girls are involved in sports. Haven't you coached your own daughters?
Well, I have. I was an excellent coach in the fine tradition, of course, of great coaches out of Jersey City, where I played basketball, and Danny Hurley, the national champion coach, played and coached. Now I did coach both my daughters, and it doesn't even make sense to me. It actually seems like a Saturday Night Live skit back when Saturday Night Live was funny. When they have these, you know, obvious men, you know, 3 years, the one guy was on the men's team at UPenn, and he was mediocre, but still Division One, you know, top level. Now he goes over to the girls and wins everything. You know, it's just that part of it's crazy. John, I want to pause though. I want to ask a different question, because I remember asking the late Phyllis Schlafly about the vaccine movement when we're talking about vaccines in schools. You know, what I think has been proven to be deeply flawed and problematic COVID vaccine process, back when people were just saying, you know, what about, the vaccines that children are asked to get and requirements at schools. And I remember asking Phyllis, and Phyllis saying, well, there's lots of debate on some of those, and there's a lot of science that's still not known. But the one thing we have to do is protect the parents' control over their kids, that it's not the government and the schools that will tell them what to put in their body. Okay. So I think that's a pretty important thing that talk about. If you want to destroy the family, continue to take away from parents the right to know if their child has an abortion or has a vaccine or asks for transgender surgery. Right. I mean, and that's a fact. But, and we have people advocating for laws that say, if you want to get gender changing surgery and you're 12, you should be able to, you know, go past your parents and get to the place where you can do that. And that seems deeply problematic. The flip side though, John, is what happens when parents, some of these moms, you look at them and they look at the camera and they're like, my daughter or son really wants to transition and I want this for them. I don't want to sound like a totalitarian, but I almost want government to intervene. It seems like mental illness to me. I mean, we're in a very strange place.
Well, we certainly, you know, first of all, the public schools and even some private schools really don't believe in parents' rights. They feel that they know better because they've been to teachers' training. And we've had many examples where public school teachers are helping their young students to socially transition to the other gender at school by changing clothes and so forth, and deliberately concealing that information from
right,
their parents.
Right, 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 right. I mean, it's, but again, my point is, how confusing this is. What happens when a 36-year-old mother shows up at the Washington University in St. Louis Barnes Jewish Hospital Clinic for transgenderism and says, here's Tommy, he really wants to be a girl, and I'm signing the paperwork to let him have major surgery? I mean, you know, again, where do parents' rights and, you know, frankly, temporary insanity overlap? I mean, again, my point is only that we've come here so fast on something that is like .001 of the problem.
Well, now you say .001, but we're told by the New York Times, which is pushing this, relying on a LGBT foundation called the Williams Institute, that 1.7% of teenagers in America are transgender. And that number, that's 300,000. And mm-hmm. that number, they say, has doubled in the last 5 years. So it's clear from those large numbers, which are really far beyond anything that we, you know, that, I mean, it's social, you know, there's a social contagion, I think, is the term that it should be looked at. This is not real. This is kind of promoted by TikTok, I would say, and other forms of social media. And that's not really genuine. Maybe there are a handful, maybe a few thousand in America, but not 300,000. And so you say, what do you do when a parent, you know, supports transition?
Yeah.
Well, one thing, you know, the medical profession has long since abandoned the Hippocratic Oath, which every young doctor used to take when they embarked on the profession. And, you know, your wife is a doctor, Ed. What is the first sentence? The first
four words
of the Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm.
Right.
And if that injunction means anything, it means that it is forbidden for a doctor to remove a healthy organ. I mean, and the answer to it is, you know, quoting Nancy Reagan, just say no. No, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. You're not doing it. And society is not permitting that.
All right, John Schlafly, you're getting up on your soapbox. It's getting out of control. John Schlafly, everybody, and with his brother Andy, writes a column called The Schlafly Report. This week's is End Promotion of Transgender Culture. Okay, John, but what happens when some of the biggest forces, institutions in the society fall victim, if that's the word, or kowtow to the very, very small minority of the culture? So you have a situation where universities, which, you know, I mean, again, we don't have to like all the universities at this moment in our history, but American university life has been the envy of the world in lots of ways. And certainly from the 1950s through the early 80s, I would say it was the transformative, one of the great transformative entities in ever in human life. I mean, it took all those mostly men out of the GI Bill and through a college. I mean, phenomenal institution. Or, you know, businesses, major businesses that have built brands in America. I am thinking of Budweiser, but there's lots of other ones. And they just roll over and become, you know, promoters of this broken way of seeing things. And what do you do when that's what's happening in your society, John? Because it's so strange to see Budweiser. What do they think they're doing positively to put this kind of lunatic, well, I know that's not fair, this mentally unstable person, in my opinion, on the cover of a can to kowtow a favor with who? So our major institutions are rolling over, John, and giving into this.
You know, the institutions are public that depend upon public support. I mean, the fierce pushback against Bud Light for what it did, I think, is a useful exercise. We'll see how far it lasts, and what's being done by the major sports leagues, football, baseball. I mean, the average person does have a voice and a vote in with regard to by spending their dollars, and when, you know, a sports team, if a beverage, you know, or something, you know, a shoe or whatever that depends on public support, you know, is going to put this in your face, you know, everyone has the right to just say, no, I'm not going to patronize that institution, activity, that product, if they are going to, you know, go ahead to promote destructive forces like this. So,
But John,
and of course Disney is another one, but we'll see what happens with that.
Do you think, when you look around, though, I'm asking a different question slightly. It's a surprise to me that some of these institutions are, well, no, maybe I shouldn't say that. It's not a surprise. The speed with which so many things are changing so fast, that's surprising. And then, frankly, the lack of resistance. I know there's a sort of boycott on Bud Light, but there's not really. I mean, nobody's really. I don't think they've really. I don't know. I it feels sort of like we all are watching it happen and saying, "Isn't this terrible?" And yet, it's still happening. You're not going to pep me up and make me feel better. <You're> not, I guess I know that the column, John and Andy Schlafly write this column.
Is certainly true is that the forces behind this rapid cultural change are not backing down. And so, the other side, you might say, is convinced that boycotts will never work, that the views of ordinary people do not matter because only the avatars, only, you know, the vanguard, the vanguard of social change, even if they're only a small number of people, they're unstoppable. You hear people using the phrase about getting on the right side of history, which, of course, that's a nonsense phrase because history doesn't have sides. It can go in two directions or any direction. But nevertheless, this is the Marxist idea that history has only one direction, the direction of progress, and everyone else is a reactionary. And so it's inevitable. That's what they think. And it's up to your listeners, Ed, to demonstrate that that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. What a challenge. John Schlafly, as always, thank you. We'll post the Schlafly Report up on social media and make sure you check it out there. Again, available at townhall.com as well as archived at phyllisschlafly.com. And we will take a break. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. Time to check in with Todd Benzman, our old friend, National Security Fellow over at the Center for Immigration Studies, noted author and investigative journalist. And he is, you can go to cis.org. I think it's .org. He'll correct me. Or toddbenzman.com, especially Todd's website there. You'll see his book featured prominently, Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. I don't know if it's a bestseller the way it should be, but I know that a lot of people that I trust are reading it and getting it and paying attention, and it's getting lots of coverage. So, Todd, welcome back. You keyed me into an op-ed, you published, just in the last day or so on Joe Biden. Human tidal wave is waiting for border to open May 11th, and then dash, Biden has no plan to stop it. I guess that's the story, right? That Joe Biden has basically been confronted with this reality, and they've made the decision they're not going to do anything. There's going to be no May 11th. The tidal wave is coming. They're not going to change things up, right?
Right. So Title 42 is going away finally. The subject of a lot of litigation. Republicans want to keep it. This is the thing that allows us to push back every immigrant that we catch crossing between the ports of entry into Mexico without granting them asylum. That's the key thing, without granting them asylum. Well, that goes away. It's been used at about 30% at this point anyway. 70% of everybody pretty much gets in anyway. When it goes away, the Biden administration has a new plan that they're going to put in place called 8, which is actually just the law. Title 8 is expedited removal. And what you'll hear the administration say is, we're going really Trumpian tough. Wait till you see what we're going to do with this. Every single one of them will be subject to expedited removal. And that's a key thing, because they're not saying everybody is going to be removed expeditiously. They're saying they'll just be subject to it. And that opens the door for all of these loopholes that they have built into the plan. For example, no unaccompanied minor will be subject to Title 8 or expedited removal. They all get in. And we've had already, because of that policy, already for 2 years, 350 400,000 miners just you know, entered into the country and allowed to stay, you're going to see a huge ramp up in that. Families, any family that comes in with young kids again, they're going to claim asylum. They're going to be put in detention, but they can't. We can't hold them for longer than 20 days because of this loophole called the Flores settlement. Long story there, but they're going to be pouring in to get their quick release into the country. So you're going to see, in my opinion, a huge flood of family groups, just like you did for the first 2 years of this thing.
We're talking with Todd Benzman. Todd, let me ask you the politics of it. Joe Biden, even in your article, they got a picture of Joe Biden walking down at the border. You know, they've sort of changed the way they report certain numbers, so it makes it sound like there's been either a reduction or a slowing of the increase in the numbers, which, you know, you've taught me and our listeners is not true. It's not factual. On the other hand, nobody's fooled by this. I mean, there, you know, Senator Josh Hawley the other day had, I think, Secretary Mayorkas on, and he said, you know, you're letting all these unaccompanied minors in, they're sex trafficked. I mean, why, how can this be something you're allowing? And he, you know, he said, we're following the law. I hate to do this, so being glib, blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem. Are there any Democrats who see that this is politically a liability for them? Is there anyone willing to say, hey guys, this is really bad for me or the country, or I don't know, Joe Manchin, West Virginia, and change the minds or the dynamic? Or is that, I mean, in other words, if the Democrat Party's come this far where no one can pull it back from the abyss, that's a big moment.
I feel like there's nervousness on the Democratic side about all things border. I think that they are worried. Part of this whole plan that they're rushing resources down to the border right now. I mean, I just got credible word that they sent 300 more soldiers to the El Paso sector. They're getting ready for this thing.
Right.
But their readiness and resources are all geared to accommodate the flow and move it off the border so that there's nothing for TV cameras to see. That's what the whole thing, not to block, stop, and deter and shut it down, but to get everybody in without there becoming like a Del Rio migrant camp thing or, you know, some terrible optic. So everything they're doing, you know, building giant soft-sided shelters and, you know, surging USCIS asylum officers down there and troops and buses and planes. Everything is just geared to let everybody in to accommodate the flow and move it in fast. But I think that so many are going to be coming after May 11 when Title 42 goes away, that even that system is going to get swamped. And even if it doesn't get swamped, your community, your city, your town will be swamped. They're all going to end up there. It's going to be a really big flood of people crossing the border again. That's because the plan that they created allows for them to just simply get in. The unaccompanied minors, the families, and also just singles. Anybody who says, I'm afraid to go back under Title 8, gets in. So pretty much everybody who tries it ought to get in, except the dumbest of them who don't know, somehow miss word that they just have to say, I'm afraid to be returned.
We're talking again with Todd Benzman. If you go to toddbenzman.com, T-O-D-D-B-E-N-S-M-A-N, benzman.com, Overrun is the book. You'll see it, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History, featured in a lot of excerpts in major periodicals and in the last month or so. You can check them out. And Todd Benzman has got a piece over at, let me see, it's at NewYorkPost.com.
New York Post.
Yeah, in the New York Post. What's your best guess sense of the numbers? You know, you say it's a human human, what is it, the phrase you use, it's an onslaught, a human tidal wave. What does that mean? Are we talking about 30,000 a day? Are we talking about 1 million a month? What does the number look like? Do you have any sense?
Well, the Mexicans are estimating that they may have anywhere from 40,000 to 100,000 inside the country right now waiting for this thing. They're already starting to break over the border. If you look at my footage, it's not out yet. I have a big video report about to publish. And if you look at that footage at CIS.org from my recent trip to Juarez, you'll see it's already starting to break over the dam. The intelligence community was assessing last year that the demise of Title 42 would lead to about 12,000 to 18,000 a day crossing. That's 360,000, 500,000 a month. Mm. And we're at about 200,000 a month now. So, that's what I mean by.
Well, and there's no, there's no reason, there's, I mean, there's no reason, there's no reason to think that it won't be bigger in the sense that, as you have taught us on this, is that the message has gone out to the world. This is the timeline, that nobody's guessing about whether you can get across right now. The world knows May 11th, the doors are open. So we're going to see, in other words, if the cost of your decision to come to the border, 2 months ago included, 30% uncertainty, that's lessening as the world knows, May 11th, they're not doing anything, right? I mean, there's enough reporting. You finish your piece in the New York Post. We're talking with Todd Benzman again, referencing that they'll, people will be taking selfies from hotels in America and sending them back to their fellow countrymen back in where they came from.
That's right.
That's where we're headed. So it's probably going to be bigger than we expect because we've been watching it build.
Right. And I just hope I'm wrong. But, there are a lot of people on the way here. The Darien Gap, which is the jungle passage between Colombia and Panama, where, 100 people from 150 different countries are pouring through. That thing is so clogged up right now with so many people, thousands and thousands. I have friends that are there right now on the ground reporting, Michael Yan and Ben Berquam. Go to their Twitter feeds. You won't believe what's happening there. I mean, it is just people are flooding in from throughout the world, and they're coming for this thing. I just don't think I'm going to be wrong here. I don't think that the Biden administration is going to suddenly go Trumpian. They're bringing in assets not to stop and block, but to accommodate and facilitate the flow in to the United States.
Todd Benzman's our guest. Todd, you once told me that there was a debate in the White House that you could report on, sourced a little bit, where some were saying we can't let it get this bad. We have to change the policies. Is that over? Was that ever real? What's the status of that? Is there anybody in the White House saying hold on?
Yeah, I think they're. I mean, the same people are probably, still saying hold on, but in the midterms they didn't suffer any bloodletting, really. They lost the House barely, but not by as much as they thought, and they just didn't really get hit very hard. The voters kind of, I'd say, forgave them for the 5 million people they let in over the border. So there's probably pushback on them still, saying it didn't hurt us then, it won't hurt us in the national election in 2024. I mean, it just remains to be seen, because at some point the American people are going to notice this all around them. And if the scenes from this thing coming up in May, June, July, I would expect this thing is going to go on all through the summer, are really chaotic. They're going to have to maybe think about doing something else. I mean, because that is really what they feared most when the Del Rio migrant camp under the bridge crisis happened in September 2021. I mean, it just freaked them out. So if they have that happening everywhere, maybe they'll change course.
Maybe. All right. Todd Benzman, I'm not my most hopeful interview with you, where sometimes I finish think, at least we can see the path forward. Not my most hopeful. So We'll see happens, and we're counting down to May 11th. I mean, do you? I mean, as a longtime journalist and someone who worked in public affairs, you know, in government, do you have any sense on? Yeah, will the 11th of May include coverage of this? Do you think?
If it's what I was seeing in Juarez last week, I don't know how they could avoid it. There was media in and around Juarez. Even the New York Times came down. I don't know how that you could avoid the if there were scenes like we had in El Paso in December. Everybody came for that. There's this massive flood over the border into El Paso. Every street was just strewn with people. Airports were filled with people sleeping all over the hallways. They couldn't avoid that. So I think, yes, I think if it looks like that, anything like that, they will cover it. They will cover it.
All right. Todd Bensman, thank you for you covering it. We appreciate
I'll
you very
be
much.
There.
Yeah, you'll be
I'll
there.
Be there.
We'll plan on taking, we'll speak with you before that, of course, but we'll look forward to that. All right. Todd Bensman, everybody. Again, toddbensman.com. Also, the New York Post article I'll put up on my social media feed. We'll be right back, everybody. We'll take a quick break. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presenting a daily conservative pro-family perspective since 1983 and continuing the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. And now, from the archives of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, here is Phyllis Schlafly.
Can you name the three branches of American government, legislative, executive, and judicial? Only one half of Americans know this very basic fact about the U.S. Constitution. The Intercollegiate Studies Institute, which has conducted in-depth studies of what American college students know and don't know about civics, has now gone after adults and reports an equally depressing result. Adults, too, lack the civic knowledge they need to be informed citizens and voters. A very basic test on American history, government, and economics was administered to 2,500 Americans aged 25 and older. The multiple-choice test asked citizens to identify terms and names that everybody ought to know, such as the New Deal, the Electoral College, Sputnik, I Have a Dream, and progressive tax. The 2,500 adults scored an average grade of 49%. That means their score was a pitiful F. Those who had received a college bachelor's degree averaged 57% on the test, compared to 44% for those with only a high school diploma. Worse still, 164 adults who took this class had held elected office, and their average score was only 44%. Only 27% of respondents knew that the First Amendment does not require separation of church and state, but only prohibits the government from establishing an official religion. Almost 40% said they thought the president has power to declare war. Only 50% knew that Congress shares authority with the president over U.S. foreign policy, and almost 1 in 4 stated that Congress shares authority with the United Nations. Without knowledge of our country's history, key documents, and institutions, you really don't have a frame of reference to judge today's policies. A new federal law requires schools to teach about the U.S. Constitution, but it looks like American adults need those lessons, too.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. The liberal agenda is corrupting classrooms in colleges and schools across the country. If you're a parent, teacher, or administrator who really cares about our children, we promise to keep you informed at phyllisschlafly.com. And let us hear from you at phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Wrapping things up today, let me give you a little sign of hope, a glimmer of hope. I was up on Capitol Hill this week, and I was talking to some of the senior staffers who were on the who are on some of the committees in the U.S. House that are doing the work of oversight and the weaponization committee that Jim Jordan's heading, the House Administration Committee. There's a lot going on. The one conversation that was very helpful for me was with a senior staffer on the House Administration Committee. And he said, look, I understand why some people are frustrated when they look out and they see not enough being done fast enough. He said, I get that. He said, but you have to understand covering the press covering this wants to make us look bad. He said, there's a lot going on. And he went through a list of things. He went through a list of things, and including some things. He said, look, we know we have to ask these questions. It was of some of the executive agencies. He said, but we're not going to ask those questions until the timing is right and we have our ducks lined up. Meaning, if we ask early and piecemeal, we think we'll get beat. You know, we'll get beaten back. And it was convincing. I don't want to be too confident and too, you know, trusting. But I do think that I saw some stuff. I can't talk about it this week. I may be able to talk about it next week. I saw some stuff. I saw some stuff of what's happening. I saw the inside, the guts of some of what is going on. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the possibilities. Still a lot of work to do, but so be encouraged. All right, everybody, we got to run. Thank you, Noah Dingley. I encourage him. He's a great producer of this program, and Andrea Kay and his own work. Thank you, Ryan Hyde, for associate producing. And thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Talk to you then.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.